South America, North America, and Canada had quite a natural phenomena a couple of weeks ago. I believe we call it the eclipse. And what was interesting, when I read the newspaper, they could exactly say when the eclipse would come. They could exactly say in which part of America and South America and Canada it could be seen. And that is what happened. Exactly at the time, and people that wrote on Facebook and other social media, they wrote about the fact that at a certain moment of the day, it got colder and colder and colder and darker and darker, and all of a sudden, they could make these beautiful pictures of the eclipse. The interesting thing when you look at the eclipse is that, again, they could exactly pinpoint when and how it was going to come. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that in the Netherlands, it's going to be in 2144 that there is going to be an eclipse. And again, how is it possible that they can do all of that? How can they make those calculations? And it happens exactly as they calculate. I would like to suggest there is only one reason. God is in control. Natural laws are in control that were designed by God from the very creation of the world. And so the appearance of the eclipse was another testimony to God, was another testimony to your Creator, was another testimony of that God is in control. And I praise my God for these very things. Today we want to talk about four appearances in relation to Jesus Christ and some of the lessons that we can learn from these appearances. Because, of course, when we talk about the appearance of Christ, we usually talk about him coming to the earth, him dying on the cross, and so making an atonement for all people. That is usually the appearance we talk about when we talk about Christ. But again, today we want to talk about four very specific appearances of God that also will teach us great lessons. The first one is found in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 through 26. Actually, two are mentioned there, and we're going to talk about the last one first, found in verse 26, because it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, "For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear," that's the first one, "in the presence of God on our behalf, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would not have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world." And then it says in the latter part of verse 26, "But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Now look very closely at your Bibles and look at the phrase found, "He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages." Now some of you might have a slightly different reading especially when it says at the end of the ages. Because when you look at the word the end of the ages here in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 26, that comes from a Greek word that is aion. And that word aion basically means an eighth, a period, or as we sometimes use another word, the word dispensation. And when you look at your own Bibles, and likely we have some different translations here, you will see that it might be translated slightly different, but very important to understand. Christ came at the end of the dispensations. That is a good word to translate the end of the ages. Now, why is that so important? That is important because, number one, it shows us that the dispensation of Jesus Christ is the last dispensation that God has designed from the very beginning. Bedeling. Tijdsperiode. This becomes quite important because, number one, when you look at the Old Covenant, it always speaks about in the latter days. Depending again on translation, sometimes it is written in the last days. And again, number one, that means that when we look at God and we look at Scripture, we look at His revelation, God designed from the very beginning the dispensations. Now, dispensations are not always seen exactly the same, but basically what we can say is we have the dispensation of creation, we have the dispensation of the patriarchs, we have the dispensation of Moses, and then we have the dispensation of Jesus Christ. And again, when we look at Jesus Christ, it says in verse 26, He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages. In other words, there is no other dispensation after the dispensation of the new covenant. There is nothing else that God has in mind for this world than the dispensation of Jesus Christ. And of course, we understand why. The book of John says, for instance, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What else do we need when it comes to grace and mercy? The second point, and I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, for those that want to read along. And again, there is a very important element in translation here, because this has not always been translated correctly. When you look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds. Now, guess what? The word worlds, created the worlds, is the exact same word as you find in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. In other words, and most translations are not quite correct, because when you read through whom He also made the worlds, then we often think of creation, the beginning, the world, where this word is again the same word as in Hebrews 9:26. It means dispensations. And please look at it for yourself. Look at some different translations. But that is what is being the case here. What does that mean? Beside the fact that Christ came in the last dispensation, It also means God created through Jesus Christ the dispensations. And what does that mean? Again, God is fully and completely in control, even of the dispensations that have been created from the beginning. God knows exactly when this world will end. God knew exactly when creation would end. God knew exactly when the patriarchal time would end. God knew exactly when the Mosaic time would begin and when the Mosaic time would end. That is why the book of Galatians tells us in the fullness of time, God is in control of time. God is in control of everything. That is so beautiful when it comes to those dispensations. And that is why the Old Testament says so precisely, in the latter days, the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, Joel chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 says, in the latter days, the law will go forth from Jerusalem. When it comes to these dispensations, God is fully and completely in control. And Jesus Christ came in the last dispensation. Nothing else after the new covenant, nothing else after the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the important part about Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. And please, again, combine that to Hebrews 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. And look at your translations, because that's an important element that is often overlooked. The second thing that we're going to look at is found in verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 9. We read it already, but we read it again for the sake of emphasis. It says in verse 24 again, for Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. What is the important element when we look at these words? He appeared in the presence of God on our behalf. And why is that so important? Look at verse, the same chapter, look at verse 11 and 12. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of bulls, goats, and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Brothers and sisters, Leviticus. Do we know the book of Leviticus? Numbers, Deuteronomy. They're often books that we do not really read as much. But one thing is so evident when you go to Leviticus, you go to Leviticus chapter 16 and Leviticus chapter 23, where you find the Day of Atonement. What was now so specific about the Day of Atonement? On the Day of Atonement, the high priest went into the Holy of Holiest. Once a year, after having been washed, he went into the Holy of Holiest to present the blood of the sacrifice in order for the cleansing of sin. The book of Hebrews makes it evident that also Christ needed to have something to offer. And what did Christ offer? Christ offered his own blood. That is why, and of course that is not the only reason why he went into in the presence of God, because we know that he is our high priest. That's another important component of the book of Hebrews. He became man, not only to sacrifice himself, but also that he would fully identify with us as human beings in the pain and the struggles of life. But another reason is, he went into the tabernacle not made with hands to present his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. And that is why when you look at the book of Leviticus and then Deuteronomy and some of the other books, all these things were very precise. On this specific day, in this specific way, you need to bring the blood of the offering into the Holy of Holiest. What does all of that mean? All of that means is that when you look at the Old Testament, it is a shadow of the good things to come. And so the book of Hebrews says, even Jesus, even he as high priest, had something to offer. He offered his own body, and what did he do? Christ presented, he appeared in the presence of God on our behalf with his own blood. And so verse 25 says, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly. The high priest, every year, again and again and again and again and again, only as a shadow. As the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. And so this appearance of Christ in heaven is a very important appearance. Because what did it do? It obtained eternal salvation. When it comes to time, God is fully in control. When it came to the temple not made with hands, God is fully in control. Another appearance found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3, it says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then look at verse 5. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. So here we have another appearance of Jesus Christ that is very important. When you go to the courthouse, what is the most important thing when it comes to a conviction? Evidence. That's the word. Exactly. It is all based on evidence. Brothers and sisters, when we look at Jesus Christ, when we look at God, it is all about evidence. Some people say believing in God is a jump in the dark. You believe just because your parents believe. You believe just because you were born in Western Europe. Or you believe because you were born in America where things happen to be Christian. Well, again, everything stands or falls with evidence. We all know that, right? Do we believe that Australia exists? Who believes that Australia exists? How many of you have actually been there? Two of us have been there. Three of us have been there. But brother, you still believe it exists, right? Why? You've never been there.
History
says it. The map says it. YouTube says it. The paper says it. Everything says it exists based on evidence. In the courthouse, it's evidence. The judge was never at the place where the crime was committed. But based on evidence, he convicts the one that is being charged. And as a result, we all agree that was right because there was evidence and the judge has a right to speak. Matotsi, you said this morning, Christianity is so unique when it comes to no distinction. Here we have another one. Christianity is unique because all the evidence points towards a creator. All the evidence points towards the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. All the evidence is pointing towards. So when Matotsi says it is unique when it comes to no distinction, Christianity is also unique. And young people, especially for you, believing in God is not a jump in the dark. It is a decision that you make based on evidence. And that is one of the reasons why Jesus appeared, so that Josephus Flavius could read in his history writings, Jesus was a real man, Jesus died on the cross, Jesus resurrected after 3 days, and in his resurrected body, he appeared not to one person, but first of all to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as Paul says, he also appeared to me. There is evidence that God exists. There is evidence that Jesus Christ died, that he was raised from the dead, and that he went to heaven. There is evidence for all of those things. Hinduism doesn't have it. Buddhism doesn't have it. Islam doesn't have it. Nothing has it than Christianity alone. Archaeological evidence, it proves the Bible to be true. Geographical evidence, it proves the Bible to be true. True science proves the Bible to be true. Everything points to the fact that the Bible is true, that God is the creator of this world, and that it is not a leap in the dark to believe in God and to be connected to Jesus Christ. There is evidence. And that's the beautiful point about this appearance. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 through 8. Then we have one more appearance that we want to talk about. And that is also found in Hebrews chapter 9. Jan read it already for us, verse 27 and 28. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. Not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. There is strength, there is power when it says to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This again proves, maybe not in and of itself, but again, that statement proves again that God can be trusted, that we know that he exists, that we know that Jesus Christ came. All these things help us to understand that for those people that have looked into Scripture, for those of us that have looked into history, for those of you in terms of 1 John that have examined different things, the person who examines comes to the conclusion that God exists and that the Bible is His Word. And for those of us that have learned these facts based on evidence, we eagerly wait for Him to appear a second time. Because that is also the testimony of Scripture. Christ will come a second time. He came a first time to obtain eternal salvation for all people. Now He will come a second time. Now some people say, you know, I just choose not to think about that. Or I just don't give the time to examine the evidence to know whether those things are true or not. But brothers and sisters, there will come a time when Christ will come a second time. Whether it is tomorrow, whether it is even today, whether it is in 100 years, whether it is in 1,000 years. So the question that we ask and that we end with today, are you ready to meet Jesus? But that might not be the right question. The question is, are you eagerly waiting to appear a second time? Because what day that will be when Christ comes a second time. There was a man 200 years ago immigrating from Ireland to the U.S. In those days, travel didn't go as fast, so it took him about 5 weeks to get there. Then when he was there about 5 months, he got a telegram that his youngest daughter had died. He did what he wanted to do. He bought a farm. He started to work the land in order to bring his family over at a later time. A few months later, he got another telegram. Your youngest boy has also died. Time went on. His family came to the U.S. When he got older, there was a good friend of him. They sat together in the barn. And his friend said to him, "What are you going to do when you get to heaven?" And of course, he was expecting a certain answer. He was expecting, "Oh, I want to see my little boy. I want to see my little daughter." But you know what he said? He said, "I'm going to stare at Jesus the first 500 years." Isn't that true? We spoke this morning in our Bible study about the gifts that we have been given. It's all because of God. Whatever work you do, it's a gift that you have been given from God. The family you have, it's a gift from God. The children you have is a gift from God. The work you have is a gift from God. The food that you eat tonight is the gift of God. The very breath that you take at this very moment is the gift of God. And of course, when we look at Jesus, the Bible says we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. That is why Jesus appeared, to bring His blood to the Father, to present His own blood to the Father, to inherit eternal salvation for everyone. And so, when you look at all of those things, God is worthy of all our adoration. God is worthy of our worship. God is worthy of our time. When we look at it from the angle of life, whether we look at it from the angle of salvation in Jesus Christ. And so, it is not so much that we say, I'm ready, but it is more. We are eagerly waiting his arrival. Amen.